I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust! It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they gonna say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Owl at Burn on the Board. Jim Lawler in studio. If we should have Mr. John Lee, or maybe he might be calling it from Singapore. We'll have Mr. John Flanagan in a little bit. S&P futures are down some on the breakdown of talks, although it doesn't look like they totally broke down. We are now S&P futures down 40, NASDAQ futures down 153, oil up $7, 104.02. Let's see where we have gasoline. Let's see, we have RBOB is up 12 cents, 316. I paid 356, which is 40% more than last week. That was in the burbs.
Yeah.
So that wasn't good. I'm sorry, 456. 356 would be nice. As this continues to happen, now we're having our esteemed president taking a blast at the Pope because the Pope wants peace. Trump does nothing but complain about the Pope wants crime and he wants other stuff. I don't know. He used some term for Trump and it had something about delusional. Pretty close, I think. But that would just be me. Do we have Mr. Lee or no?
We do indeed, yeah.
John, how are you?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you, bud?
I'm here.
Are you in Chicago here or in Singapore here?
No, I'm going to be in Singapore. I mean, I'll be in Chicago next Monday.
Well, there you go.
So I'll be taking the call from the air, from the San Francisco SFO airport.
Really?
Yeah. But anyways, it's... I'll tell you what, how any country in NATO could even talk to us anymore is shocking. It is so, but I did see a very interesting, the New York Times is supposed to have an article coming out here.
You're not supposed to read the New York Times. It's bad.
Bad news.
They're talking about who was in the room and who made the decision. And they said that Rubio and the head of the CIA, and I can't remember the guy's name, were adamantly against it. They disagree with the Israeli assessment. So is Vance, okay, but he was not in the room. He was traveling, probably going to Hungary again or something, 6 weeks ago.
How'd that work out?
So, yeah, how'd that one work out? He's hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, the guy won on a landslide over there, the other guy.
And Orban was disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
He was an authoritarian jackass.
He's perfect. These guys love him. These guys love him.
And so Vance was against it, but Hegseth was all in favor of it. And so that's the dynamics. I'll see if I can find the link and talk. You know, it's close enough to reality to make sense. I mean, as much as I don't like Vance, and I think that he's incompetent, you know, he's always been against foreign wars. The head of the CIA has to have some modicum of intelligence, and Rubio, you know, Rubio's not a dumb guy. He may blow it to win, but that's, I thought that was very interesting that Hegseth, or Kegsbreath as they call him now, was, you know, we're going to basically have to take care of these people sooner or later.
Of course, could have said that about Russia. Could have said that about Russia. Could have said that about a lot of people. I mean, does that mean you'd have to fight China soon?
Russia, you can say about North Korea, and that doesn't agree with us?
I mean, yeah. Say that about China? You can say about anybody you don't like.
I will dig that up and send it to you.
Meanwhile, Israel just keeps expanding.
It's a crime.
Yeah. No, they're talking to Lebanon on how much
territory they're going to take.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're getting rid of one of the last Christian. Now, it doesn't matter if it's Christian or Muslim, but you would think the evangelicals in the United States would be upset with how it's going on.
I think they're starting.
They're getting rid of this. They're getting rid of one of the last Christian villages. The far right Israeli settlers.
They just want the property. It's all a buffer zone. That's what we did to the Indians here. It's all a buffer zone.
Yeah. So,
it's all in the semantics.
Well, there's not a lot of semantics, Tom. Look at
what's going on today.
Look at the Unhinged Post.
You see, you've missed the headlines here in Chicago today because we're now talking about getting rid of customs people in airports that are sanctuary cities, so nobody will be able to land here, and you destroy the tourism of, say, Chicago. So this is the threat today from these idiots. And so the idea there is, if you're a sanctuary city, well, how many people that rail against sanctuary cities? We have some on the show. Can't even define what that means. What it means to me is there's a law at which you're going to moderately enforce. You know, if somebody, I suspect if somebody's arrested for a crime and are here illegally, you're not going to want them here, but I don't know. It means you're not going to go to somebody's wedding and arrest the wife. You're not going to hang around outside of schools. It's a question of enforcement. And you're not going to actively enforce people that have been here for a long period of time and aren't causing any trouble. That's my definition of what a sanctuary city is. And now we have how many laws in this country? We don't think that the Trump White House has a sanctuary thing regarding insider trading. We don't think that the Congress and everybody else for 30 years, as Carl always talks about, has a sanctuary thing about antitrust in medical places. What is that? We're just not going to enforce it, right? What does that mean? To me, that's a sanctuary, right? We have a law, but we're not going to enforce it. Isn't that the same thing?
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
But if you believe the fact that people sitting here working, and I'm not all for a criminal coming across the border and hanging around here, not at all. That's to say that you're not going to go after, you know, somebody who's 12 years old that was brought in as a toddler. Okay, that's a sanctuary thing. What about the stealing the Trump administration does? That's a sanctuary. We're letting those guys do what they want to do. We're letting antitrust do what they want to do. That's all sanctuary stuff, right? Isn't the same thing? It's not enforcing the laws as written. Am I right or wrong?
I think you're right. And it's, you know, that'll get thrown out, you know, because they do these performative acts because Scaramucci was right. He said, you know, the guy that's really running all of this is Miller.
A total racist.
Yeah, a total racist. I mean, Miller is comparable to, I think of the guy's name. The Czechs assassinated him.
Henry Himmler.
Himmler. No, not Himmler.
Reinhard Heydrich.
Yeah, he's the same as that, because he was smarter than all of them.
Yeah, and he was more ruthless.
Of course, they killed a couple. They killed tens of thousands of Czechs after that. But you know, he's like that, and okay, here we go, losing votes every day. I'm looking for the.
Well, here's you got to listen to this. This is I don't know why this came up this morning. I want to talk more about the market, but this is Trump on the Pope. Talk about an ego. Leo should be thankful because, as everyone knows, he was a shocking surprise. He wasn't on any list to be Pope, and he was only put there by the church because he was an American, and they thought would be the best way to deal with President Donald J. Trump. If I wasn't in the White House, Leo wouldn't be in the Vatican. If that paragraph isn't a definition of ego, I don't know what is. Never forget the fact that the guy's brilliant. He was the head of the Augustinians, who's how many thousand people are in the Augustinians. He knows how many languages. He was in Colombia underneath a dictator there for how long. But the only reason why he's there is because of Trump. I can't even go there. I mean, what? And this is the guy people adore?
Right. So this is the issue, too, is that was made on a lot of comments. You know, he's losing independence. You know, it's a waterfall. People are, you know, he's losing. He's lost the Democrats, of course. He's lost the independents.
He might get the Democrats back if Kamala runs again.
Yeah, there you go.
She said she might.
No, I thought she was.
She said she's thinking about it. That's the comment this week.
And that's a mistake. And, I mean, the real crime here is, okay, now my personal favorite as a Democratic, as a born-again Democrat, you know, after being a Reagan Republican and then a Rockefeller Republican, is Josh Shapiro. Because he's Jewish, the far left will never allow him to come in. So this is how messed up it is. Andy Beshears and...
The far left loves Pritzker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He has a bankrupt state. Great. I mean, no, that's going to play well.
You know what? That's not true anymore. Since he's been in office, and I'm not a fan, but we've had like...
Okay.
Illinois had like five or six upgrades since he's been there.
You know what? Fair enough.
In terms of bond ratings.
Maybe I'm just...
Chicago is deep doo-doo, but the state isn't. Not to
what would you call Brandon Johnson derangement system? BDDS. Yeah, IBDDDS. BDDS.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
what I have. He's Trump on the other end.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
So I think there's a couple of stories to watch here, and that is... I had thought about this because I took a taxi over to the American Club here in Singapore to take the call.
Oh, okay, what is the American Club in Singapore? What kind of knaves hang out in that joint?
Good looking, late middle aged men like myself.
Late middle age? You got to go higher than that.
Okay. Well, Tom, it's a sliding scale now, man.
Oh, that's right.
If you're 70, you can claim you're late middle age.
Just remember, anybody 10 years older than you, no matter what your age, is old.
That's true.
If you're 30, somebody 40 is old. If you're 90, somebody 100 is old.
It's a home for expats. All major Asian cities. There's the Tokyo American Club.
I'm assuming there's a bar there.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. And some of these clubs have been around for a while.
Do they have exercise facilities or just bars?
That's why I belong here. They have bars and exercise facilities.
There you go. Okay. So it's like East Bank Club for Americans.
Yeah. I mean, now, okay, for your listeners, we got to wind that clock back to like 1983, that's when the East Bank Club was on its game.
Well, I think it's still pretty popular, but I don't know. I've been there. I think I'm still an emeritus member.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think a couple things to watch is, I mean, you can go get the microwave popcorn on this one, is watching the American Firsters, you know, break away from the MAGA guys. So you have Candace Owens, Alex Jones. I mean, none of these are sane individuals. Nick Fuentes. I can't. There's two or three others out there. And even Megyn Kelly, okay? Although she said she wouldn't vote for a Democrat.
Well,
Trump has gone on a jihad against them, going after them. Because they have come out, and Alex Jones, I mean, this is the guy that claimed Sandy Hook never happened.
Yeah.
Said we should invoke the 25th Amendment. Well, so they have out this.
I read an article the other day that said that we should just get rid of the 25th Amendment. Because nobody's cabinet that they install is ever going to throw them out. What's the point?
So what's the one where the Senate votes to impeach you?
That's the Constitution. That's not an amendment.
Okay.
25th Amendment is the one where the cabinet can go to the Senate and say, look, this guy's messed up. You got to get him out of here. I think the Senate still has to approve that.
What would happen is, thus, if Trump loses his mind, okay, and Iran still does not give up their nuclear material, and he decides to bomb a couple of, with nuclear weapons, Iranian facilities with nuclear weapons, will the military obey that order?
I'm going to hope no.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't think they will. because he's tried to fire. I think it's in the dozens now.
You saw the movie Alabama, right? Was it Alabama?
No.
With Gene Hackman and they were in a submarine and they had the mutiny.
Yes, yes.
That's Crimson Tide.
Crimson Tide. Well, the name of the ship was the Alabama, right?
Yes.
Crimson Tide, Alabama, what's the difference? It's the same place.
Well, there's the name of the movie, which is Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
What's his name? Tony Soprano. It was Webbs.
No, Tony Soprano was not Webbs. It was Viggo Mortensen was Webbs.
What was Tony
Soprano? Tony Soprano was in there. James Gallofini was in there. A lot of people were in there.
Denzel Washington, right?
Denzel Washington was the XO.
Yeah. When everybody, again, we keep throwing these words around. Unfortunately, well, fortunately for me and the people who listen to the show, we have our friend Carl, who's been defining what the nuclear stuff is. And he doesn't think, and a lot of, that they don't have any plutonium, which is what people use for bombs.
No, they don't.
But now you can use other stuff for dirty bombs, just dirty stuff. I mean, so now everybody wants their enriched uranium, no? I don't even know. Does that mean they can't do any MRIs? I mean, is it stuff that they could use for a bomb or not? I mean, there's a lot in this definition that you talk about here, and I don't know that anybody, including me, knows what they're talking about here. And I wonder if they do. I mean,
One of the issues too is we have a cast of pretty questionable characters doing these negotiations, anyways. Witkoff is so busy making side deals with Russians.
John,
can we just get
to like the real issue? We sent Vance, Kushner, and Wyckoff over to Pakistan. We already know the Iranians do not want to talk to Kushner or Vance or Wyckoff because they're American Jews. They already know what their point of view is. And then you send Vance to be the pawn. You already knew it was going to go down. They weren't
Absolutely.
Going to agree.
Yeah.
And so what are you going to do? We're now going to put the Fifth Fleet, which is out of Bahrain, in this. We block an Iranian oil thing from leaving. They're going to blow up another ship.
Yep.
Maybe.
Or they're going to blow up one of our bases. I mean,
I don't know if they will or they won't. We'll see. Hopefully
they won't. Supposedly our CIA has confirmed that it is China is sending weapons over to Iran. New air defense systems. Now, how they're going to get there and how do we know about it? That's a good question. But this is coming from our CIA. Who I honestly don't think can find Waldo if he was sitting you across the street.
Well, the whole idea that you got to make sure this doesn't get out of hand. And there are people that are being hurt by this. I mean, Japan, do we think they're going to show up with the same amount of check for buying our bonds next month? They don't have the same amount of money after what they're paying for oil. We don't seem to have people that can think this all the way through, or want to. I don't know if they don't want to or they can. I don't know which is worse.
I don't think they want to.
I think what's actually happening is we have people that think that there's these geniuses behind these guys that have had this all played out. Looks to me like they're inventing it as they go along, and it's not a question of a party versus a party. The Democrats did the same thing in Vietnam. Nobody could say that it was a bad idea. Nobody could ever back off. Whatever the other side did that you didn't expect, then you had to send even more stuff and more and more people dead. It's the exact same scenario. Or what am I missing? I mean, I still remember
you're not missing anything.
I still remember you remember Robert, the guy from the Federal Reserve.
Oh yeah, of course.
And he was an Army brat, and he was at some fort someplace, in the South. I can't tell one from one fort from another. Of course, they changed all the names, too, so it makes it even worse. But there was a tape that Kathy Durbin got us that I cannot find anywhere. It was a tape of Lyndon Johnson and the phone with one of his good old boy goofball buddies from the South. And he's telling the guy, I can't win this war. We can't win this war. And the other guy goes, Lyndon, nobody likes a loser. Nobody likes a loser. You can't pull out. Nobody likes a loser. So the next day, Johnson sent, 25, 40, 50,000 more troops to Vietnam after being on the phone with a guy saying we can't win the war. So Robert said,
I've heard that tape. By the way.
Right now I can't find it.
I've heard that tape.
And he said a lot of those guys came from his fort and were his friends, and some of them didn't come back. So he has a real deep feeling of this, more so than me just hearing the tape. Although I know people who didn't come back too. But he actually lived on a base where guys, the next day 5,000 people or however many headed off and, 4,000 came back or whatever it was. It's not like Trump's the first. You get into something, you don't know what you're in, and all of a sudden it goes over your head. I mean, we've had people do that all the time. Well, what about Afghanistan, for God's sake? I mean, right?
I think Afghanistan was completely, completely different. Once again, we had people. Well, we can do Afghanistan. It's time to get rid of them. Saddam Hussein. Well, all we do is create the. All we do is create the current situation we have now.
Right.
Is because Hussein is. I mean, the most disgusting. As disgusting as anybody out there. Was, they were always squaring off against each other. We live in interesting times here.
Well, the problem is we don't get to the point where we're not living in them. We're all dead. I mean, I this idea of constantly... How powerful does he think we are? Which we are pretty powerful. We could kill everybody, I suppose. We want to nuke everybody. But where we can just roll run ahead without any allies forever when we're broke? I mean, I shouldn't have...
Tom, how many times has NATO invoked Article 5?
Once.
To support us.
Support us.
To support us in Afghanistan.
After 9/11.
Yeah, that's the only time.
Yep. And now we're all we do is just beat up on them. But I just did a thing on Greg Pappas, our buddy. He was on the show. It had to be, what do you say, Jimmy? 4 years ago, he clicks up the debt clock. Of course, he's a new age kind of guy. Instead of grabbing a stopwatch, he has his phone stopwatch, and he clicks off how many seconds it took to run through $1 million on a debt clock. And it was like 42, 43, something like that. Well, about 6 months ago, he does it again, and it was like 34. I just did it on Friday, and my thumb is not accurate, I suppose, but we're down to like 22. So what are we doing here money-wise? Are we going to try and steal oil from them? I don't think that'll cover us. Are we going to raise taxes? Are we going to continue to borrow more? I mean, what exactly is our plan? Do we have an idea? Are we just going to have?
Well, it wasn't our plan. It wasn't our plan. It was Israel's plan.
I'm saying, what is our plan money-wise? I looked at the Fed. One of the most amazing things is all Trump does is rag on this guy Powell. Powell acts like he's his lapdog. He does exactly what I want him to do. In the last 6 weeks, they've added $80 billion to the Fed balance sheet. So they're pouring money into the system to support this war and other stuff. I mean, it's not like the guy's not doing exactly what Trump wants him to. Maybe Trump doesn't even understand that. I don't know. I hope he does.
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does. I don't think he understands that. I mean, that's my opinion. I don't think he does.
I think what happened if he or anybody before him, not just him, if Bush would have said in Iraq 2, by the way, it's going to cost $1 trillion and we... Serbia needs a 25% surcharge on their taxes for the next 3 years. Do you think his loser supporters would have gone with him? What if Trump puts the actual bill for this mess out in front of people? Of course, he's going to be lunatic enough to say, don't worry, I'm going to do tariffs from some other people and they're going to pay it. And I guess some people will listen to him, but I don't know who would.
I mean, we'll get it from oil money.
Yeah, we're going to get it from oil money.
People are lining up to get our oil.
I mean, look who's the winners in this mess. Russia, got to be the biggest winner. Anybody who owns an oil company, anybody who bought refineries using Venezuela oil in the Gulf like his buddy, Who are the biggest losers? Japan's got to be the biggest loser, aren't they? They pretty much buy all their oil. American consumers.
Japan, yeah.
American consumers. A lot of people in Europe, except for Britain, has their own oil, but still. I get a load of this. My brother has a friend, known from college, and she married some guy, some Irish guy. So I think the scenario is diesel got to $10 a gallon over in Ireland. So the truckers are now barricading the distribution points for diesel as a protest. So now they're sending out troops to disband the truckers, but regular people are taking their cars and surrounding the truckers and to protect them. And we're talking about a country that's peaceful. What have we just done to these people everywhere? And $10 a gallon,
well,
diesel's kind of a lot.
Just to talk about something, you know, we were talking about the Trump, you know, how bad the Republicans are. I mean, the corruption at the White House, the inner circles, horrendous. It's a kleptocracy.
The Democrats getting their fair share of Congress.
And then, you know, they say, okay, no more trading on the
poly markets.
The gaming way. Yeah, no more poly market.
Well, these are White House staffers.
These
are White House staffers. He didn't say family. He said staffers.
Or cabinet members.
He didn't say cabinet members. It was all staffers.
He said staff. Oh, yeah, staffers. And I'm going, my God, just imagine if you would have to do that.
John, what do you say we head off the break here?
I also listen to you.
We got to head off the break here because we don't want to miss the first break here because there's stuff happening. SP is down 39. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-586-9885. 800-586-9885. 800-586-9885. That's 800-586-9885.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom. I'm Matt Byrne on the board. SP Futures down 42. NASDAQ Futures down 151. This is a lot higher than we were last night when we opened. I mean, this every time something like this happens and we open down, we always bounce back. I wonder that the people who buy that first rush down are probably the last, probably 10 times this has happened, or maybe 7 or 8. They've ended up on the top end of this, and that's dangerous. I mean, just to buy the dip like that. Maybe it opens too low or whatever. Obviously, it has. And we'll see if we bounce back today. We have on several of these days. We'll see what happens today over in over in Europe. We've got, as soon as I get my machine to work here, over in Europe. European markets open the week lower and travel stocks plunge. DAX down 239, it's a full 1%. FTSE only down 35, however, 0.4%. CAC round down 69.8. So down, but not horrible. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 421.7. Hang Seng down 232.9. Shanghai is actually up 2, so call that flat. So again, down, but not horrible. On Friday, S&Ps were down 7, NASDAQ were up 80, so Friday was a real inside day. Bonds up 2 basis points, 10 years at 4.34. The bond up 3 basis points, 3.08. Oil, this is where we had a mover here, up 734, 103.91, so back over 100. After last week, we rocketed down. Brent up 681, 102.01, so they're pretty much even. RBOB up 11 cents, 315. I paid 456, which is up 40 cents from last week. So I'm thinking it's about as high as right now we're going to go. And the reason why I say that is RBOB 319, add roughly, well, I don't know how much you want to add for transportation, a little profit for the guy, say 50 cents. And then add 90 cents or so for tax. So you're up to like 460, which is about what I paid, which I think that's probably where we stand here. Who knows? Gold down 44, 47, 42. It was down 100 last night. Again, it was a great buy down 100. Silver down 2. I think it was down like 7. So again, it was a great buy last night. Foreign exchange, safe haven dollar has gone up. That's why the gold is down. So the euro is back under 117, 116.9. British pound under 135, 134.4. And we have crypto down 295, but still over 70,855. Matt, what do you got for traffic, weather, sports? Cubs win.
Yeah, big win for them. Yes, everyone, is currently 6:36 a.m. on April 13th, 2026. Good morning. I've got some weather for you. 65 at O'Hare in Midway right now. Cloudy skies with 87% humidity. Kind of steamy out there. Later on today, a high of 77 with the possibility of some sun in the afternoon. It'll be a low of 66 tonight with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Now in the sports, yesterday Bulls lost to the Mavericks, 128-149 was the final score. Bulls are 31 wins to 51 losses this season. And now yesterday for Chicago's MLB teams, Cubs won against Pirates, final score was 7-6. The Sox won as well, they played Kansas City Royals, final score 6-5. Today the Cubs are on at 5:40 against the Phillies. So I got, Chief, back to you.
We have Mr. Flanagan.
Good morning, all.
How are you? What's up?
Hi, Trent.
So I hear you're...
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
By the way, you better hurry back here, Mr. John Lee, because you might have to fly into South Bend if we don't have any customs agents at O'Hare.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the...
Wayne Mueller. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, any way to attack the sanctuary cities and states is okay with me, I'll say.
Well, you don't mind sanctuary drug companies or sanctuary White Houses or anything, though.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, let those guys do their stuff.
Okay. Hey, Tom, Chief, I just sent you that article I was talking about from the New York Times about the
you're not supposed to read the
Inner Circle
Times.
Discussion.
You're not
worst newspaper ever.
Yeah, worst newspaper ever.
Yeah.
Well, who's the lady who's writing the book that he's all over, that supposedly has somebody, and he's running around the White House asking for who the leaker is?
I think it's, is it Maggie Huberman?
Something like that.
It's,
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any question that there was probably some debate on the subject. I mean, J.D. Vance wants to run for president next time, and a lot of the people that voted for them voted for him because, you know, the line was no foreign wars. So I don't think Vance wants to be totally tied up with that.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. I mean, I don't know. Who knows what the issues will be? You know, 2 years from now or 2.5 years from now. I hope Iran isn't one of them. I hope we're out of there. I think they would behoove them to be out of there by then. So, John, what do you make of all this? To give some guys some kudos, I don't think the talks ended with total acrimony. I think they made some progress. Is that fair? You think?
Well, I didn't, you know, I was surprised, you know, in listening to Vance's statement after the the 21-hour session or whatever, where he said that, there was good news and bad news. They hadn't, come to any kind of an understanding about the nuclear weapons. And that, to me, left open, it seemed to me, the first way I read it was, they're just going to go back and sit in their neutral corners for a while and come back again. It didn't seem to rule out the possibility of a future, round of negotiations. And there still hasn't been anything that precludes that. So, yeah, it isn't like Iran has, you can't really trust what's coming out of their so-called press or press statements any more than you can anybody else. They didn't seem to rule it out.
It's funny. John, I agree with you. But, this war is actually, first of all, the Iranian regime is a theocratic terrorist regime. It's been that way since it started. The shit they do is just horrific. What they did in Hamas, the Hezbollah, Syria, Iraq, Houthis. Okay. So all of a sudden, there's a certain class of people out there go, look, maybe they're not that bad. They're standing up to Trump. He's made one of the worst enemies, that we have, and they are. He's made them somewhat, respected because they survived. Anyway, sorry for my rant.
John, if you want to go on theocracy, Israel would also probably be close to that too. They assassinate whoever they want. They kill whoever they want. They don't care. In the state of sponsoring terrorism, they don't sponsor it. They are it. Whoever threatens them, they have no problem bombing you. Wherever you are. I don't care.
Well, I think when you start with, to me, I can't, I know I'm saying this too much, but the parallels with Vietnam, my view of Iran, it's really formed by Fari and some people in Ogden Dunes that were from Iran. And a guy and his wife, and they have a couple kids, and of course, the guy's an engineer, and the wife has 2 degrees, and she worked at Northwestern University in Northwestern Hospital in their IT department. And he says, I can never go back there because they would never let me out because they know I'm an engineer, but we have family back there we try and keep in touch with. He says, they're horrible people. He said, I'm going to guess 75, 80, 85% of the people want them out of there. Okay, so,
Where? Out of where? Iran?
Out of government. They don't like the idiots that are in there. But Iranian people...
No, I agree.
They're not... Plus, most of the people here think they're Arabs. They're not. They're Persians. This whole war sort of started with the platitude that they're having nothing but demonstrations over there, and this disgusting government they have is killing all these people. So that's not good. Nobody agreed with that. Nobody wanted the Ayatollah's gang in there. I sure as hell didn't. Nobody did. Yet it's kind of the same parallels as Vietnam. We're gonna save these people. Well, by the time we were done in Vietnam, how many of the people we were supposed to be saving did we kill? It doesn't come down to mentality. I have no problem at all with Trump and his guys saying they're bad people. They were bad people long before I even heard the name Trump. But that doesn't mean that you go get to do whatever you want just because you happen to have the bigger stick. There's bad people all over the world. Hell, North Korea's bad. We've managed to stay since, 1952. We managed to hold those guys off without having to go in and kill people. So there's other ways to do this is all my only point. The idea that, but now we've reached the point where how many people are dead over there? 5,000 or whatever than the last number I read. Maybe it's more. And a lot of people, way more than that wounded. Now, are they part of the 85% we're trying to save, or are they part of the 15% we want out? I'm guessing they're part of the 85% we're trying to save, except for a few people up top that the Israelis have managed to nail. That's what I'm saying. When this keeps going, you end up hurting all these other people. We're hurting the Japanese, we're hurting the British, we're hurting all our allies, we're hurting us. What are we doing here? At some point, I just want to know, what are we doing here, and how are we going to get out? I have no issue with Trump not liking these guys. Hell, I don't like them. But now our definition of nuclear weapons. We've gone beyond nuclear weapons. We're talking about any enriched uranium they have, they got to give to us. Now, wait a minute. That's a little... What kind of enrichment are we talking about? Are we talking about enough to do an MRI? Are we talking about enough to, you know, to build a bomb? I don't know if they have plutonium or not. I mean, all of a sudden we're getting lost in these definitions. I mean, Mr. Flanagan, what do you? I mean, we're out on a limb here. We don't know what we don't know where we're going, but we're almost there. I guess is where I think we're doing, and that bothers me because I saw it in Vietnam.
Well, I think they're banking in this current negotiations to, you know, have China turn up the heat on Iran. I think that's one of the outcomes they expect, and at some point, I think that the Chinese will do that, especially after we blockade the Straits of Hormuz. They're going to have to do something if they want to, you know, continue with any kind of possibility of economic expansion. They don't really have any other options here other than, you know, the energy that they rely on for.
Well,
and
the blockade, what's your definition of that, Jan?
Definition of what?
The blockade. Now I'm hearing is that it's not really a blockading. They're not going to allow Iran to charge tolls, which to me means we're actually opening the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, what are we doing here? I hope it's the second.
No, we're preventing Iranian ships from supplying other places. We are blockading Iranian ships.
We're blockading their ports, and we're preventing the Iranians from charging tolls. To me, that means everybody else can go through. What am I missing?
Well, it was somewhat conflicting last night. I was trying to get the story straight too. It sounded at some point, you know, it was being interpreted at least that this meant that there was nothing coming in, going out of the straits.
See, I read the stuff I've been reading this morning here for a while. They're going to blockade Iranian ports so they can't ship stuff. Okay, that appears to be what they're going to do, and they're going to stop the Iranians from charging tolls. Okay, if you take that to its extension, it means anybody else gets to use it. Is it, and what am I missing, or am I missing?
Well, this stuff that's locked into the straits that can't move has either picked up cargo or whatever, or is waiting to be filled. If it's stuff that's loaded and ready to go and can't go anywhere, maybe the idea is to let those ships, pass, and the money's already been collected by Iran, so that there's no point in hanging out.
Because of what we're supposed to have going here, and Epstein's dead, how the hell does somebody pay Iran? You got to give them gold or what? I mean, they're not part of the international monetary system. How do you pay them?
Well, it's got to be some letter of credit, some kind of way that you can negotiate this. I have no idea how they've been doing it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of details here that we're kind of getting left out, aren't there? Maybe we're the only ones that ask the question.
I mean, if the idea is to deprive them of income, I'd say I'm all for that. You got to do something to bring them back to the table. Or you just walk away and say, mission accomplished, which I don't think is going to go down very well with anybody because it won't be accomplished.
Well, I mean, where are we? We've absolutely... If the original goal, which nobody seems to know, if the original goal was to knock out the Navy, make sure that what we did 6 months ago absolutely holds, that any place that they have that we thought they might be able to make more nuclear material is gone, it seems like it is. I mean, why can't we just walk away?
Well, we could. I wouldn't be utterly opposed to that. I mean, it's if we've been able to at least, kick this can down the road for say 5-10 years with whatever way we think we've set them back financially or in terms of the impression they give to their own population and the likelihood of a grassroots revolt actually succeeding somewhere down the pike. Maybe all of this would be an okay strategy, and I think there's lots of contingencies at play that I can't catalog. Maybe they haven't cataloged all of them either, but I don't think any of this is just done with any kind of knee-jerk or we're making it up on the spot kind of stuff. The whole thing with Venezuela was clearly a prelude to this, and nobody, I don't think, read it that way, at least in popular press, but I think now it's pretty clear that this was strategizing for what they expected to try to accomplish in Iran, and they didn't want to do it until they had Venezuela somewhat resolved.
Well, how many more countries are on our list?
They were pretty linked as well. And Venezuela and Iran had, there was all sorts of interchange there with the Iranians you know, having outposts there and training people, and for God knows what purpose. So none of this was done in a vacuum or without any kind of, you know, prediction somewhere that they weren't going to give the whole story to the press about, but that they knew if they could accomplish, you know, certain steps along the way, it would increase the possibility of accomplishing steps down the road. None of this can they really say very much about, and I think that's just military strategy. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't be held accountable.
Well, but once you get, but then again, it's my Vietnam thing. Once you get involved in this, I was listening to some Fox News, a little bit of, I mean, I'm trying to listen to both sides here. I actually listen to a little bit of the news, whatever. What's the other one? Newsmax.
Newsmax.
Jesus. And all they do is are praising the military. Okay, I'm all for the military and the job they've done. But if you're in a war you shouldn't be in, the fact that your military does well, that's not a justification for the war, is it?
I think Newsmax, to a great extent, is, you know, if not a mouthpiece for the military, but it certainly is, you know, coddling them or sucking up to them or expressing their viewpoints. So, but, you know, I think this is something that I don't think people in this country really want to talk about either. And maybe Trump doesn't want to talk about, but, you know, there is definitely, I think, a sense among military people, retired and current, and I wish we had Mike Murphy to tell us some of this stuff, too, where they're, you know, deeply involved in what's going on, you know, in the political world, and they always have been to a great extent. And it's always been, you know, there's a fear factor attached to that when the military is designing policy and strategizing everything, whether it's economics or, you know, domestic policy, you've got, you know, people who are, you know, going to go down easy with that. But there is definitely, I think, a sense that the military wants Trump, and at least the military control, the people in the top, have rebelled against the Mark Milleys, who they viewed as traitors. And the Obama reconfiguration of the military, which did not go down well at all, is firing generals left and right.
Well, if you fire all the people who disagree with you, you end up with people that agree with you.
Yeah, well, that was kind of what Obama was doing.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
The military has.
Yeah, I mean, hang on. I know. Obama did not fire. His Secretary of Defense did not fire 24 generals.
Good.
All right, that's just not true.
It was much more than that, from my understanding.
Well, it depends on who you.
John, I respectfully disagree there.
But what
this is unprecedented, what we're seeing.
Well, what my point is, what difference does it make? I don't care what William Henry Harrison did either. I mean,
because if you fire everyone that disagrees with you, then you know what? We're going to have a problem down the road here.
Well, we've already got a problem. I mean, when you had Mark Milley telling the Chinese don't listen to the president during Trump's first term, listen to me, there's a problem. A big problem.
You never heard Mark Milley's side of this story.
You know, we're not talking about Mark Milley. Yeah, we're talking about the war we have right now.
I'm talking about the way Mark Milley was perceived inside the military, the diehards versus the ones who were, you know.
Yeah. Sorry for the background noise here, but. No, I mean, the question is you've got a Secretary of Defense who's massively incompetent, who's firing political adversaries. Nobody can deny that. And, you know, to say that Obama did the same thing, that's not true.
Even if he did, what's the difference? What's the difference? I would say that I don't like Obama for doing that either. I mean, I'm fresh off last Monday night's conversation with a MAGA guy downstairs that basically told me that no matter how much Trump and his people steal from front-running the markets and stuff, it's all okay, it's all payback, because look at Pelosi. And I said, if Pelosi did all that, I want her in jail and I want these guys in jail. There's no such thing as payback. You and I are being stolen from by both of them. How is one payback? What manner of moron are you? I basically said that. I didn't say that to him, but...
I'm in a loud restaurant here. I'm going to sign off.
All right,
talk to everybody later.
All right. You know what, Jan? The whole world now feels that way. To be honest with you, I mean, I think be honest with me. You're with me on law and order. You're pretty close. Everybody now feels that if somebody else is going 100 miles an hour, I get to go too. And it's sort of payback. I don't know how we got there, but we're there. I mean. I mean, I just observe. By the way, I don't know how much you were driving this weekend. You know what the new trick is? Every week, every couple of weeks now, I get the new trick. And as soon as one person does it, it really is monkey see, monkey do. And I'm not talking about race or anything here. Now, the new thing now is if you're waiting for a right turn on red, and you're waiting for like traffic to clear, somebody will spin around you without even looking and turn into the left lane. So right around you and make the turn without even looking, without stopping. That happened. I went to the barber Saturday morning at 6:30. It happened four times on the way out and the way back. Is that just go on to video or something? Is what you're now supposed to do?
That and U-turns.
Oh, U-turns. Yeah, they've been all. But
I mean, I got to tell you just a brief story. But you know, I got a letter from the city of Chicago Department of Revenue the other day.
Pay your parking tickets, Jan. Pay your water bill. Don't be like a member of the administration.
This was for it's apparently a speeding violation, although there's no evidence that I could find anywhere in the letter on how far over the speed limit I was or what the speed limit at that zone was, but it was because it took place at a park that I had been given this warning. They didn't attach a fee to it because they said it's the first one they have for me on their records, so this is just a warning. It would have been, I don't know, $45 or $55 had it been enforceable, but they're just giving me a heads up. But the park was Graceland Cemetery.
What is a cemetery a park?
The stretch between Clark Street and, you know, the Red Line tracks, where I supposedly...
What, do you want to run over Revolution Mary?
Well, I'm just saying, what do they got, volleyball going on at Graceland Cemetery? Kids playing, you know, hopscotch? I don't think so.
Again, I'm going to take a stab at this.
Tom, if they could do it to me at that stretch of Irving Park, they could do it down to Dan Ryan and collect $1 million an hour.
They don't want to.
Yeah, of course not. But why don't they? God knows they need the money.
Well, they could put a couple squad cars out there, too. But I'm going to guess what happened there is, on the park thing, they were giving people tickets for like 5 miles an hour over. And I think now it went to 10 or something. And
right, it's an enhancement. If it's near a park, it's a different threshold.
But you can go online and find out where they all are. There's one on 111th Street by Mount Greenwood, too.
Right.
But I'm feeling that you got a warning. I think you were between the 5 and 10 over. You weren't enough to get the fine, but you were over.
I can guarantee you I was keeping up with traffic, too.
So. Oh, God. There you go.
I wasn't passing anybody, as I recall. I don't believe in passing people unless I absolutely have to.
Well, if you want to... Sunday morning, like I said, or Saturday, I went out to Westchester to get my haircut. Guy from the East Bean Sebo building, and I have loyalty. So I'm on the Eisenhower, and I'm probably doing... The speed limit's what, 50, 55? I'm doing somewhere between 65 and 70. And there were guys went around me that... I mean, I'm gonna help Jay Pritzker and the state police. Put your asses in a pickup truck. Put some camera in the front. Put a light on the top and just go 70 miles an hour. When somebody goes by you 100, have the camera register what the guy is, pull him over and impound the friggin' car. This is not that difficult. We obviously don't want to do it, John. The question is why?
No, and they, you're telling me they wouldn't even have to send out a ticket if they just had a bright flash? Because people know what that means.
I think if you're over 100, you don't walk away with your car. It gets impounded.
Well, if you're going 80, you don't put your car.
Well, I mean, I'd say, you know, I don't know if they've seen it before. One year I went to, was a seminar up in Toronto. So when I was on the board, I went up there and I did some lecturing on options for the people in Toronto, right? So we went in a car and we're driving in from the airport, and you'll see a sign out. It makes so sense, which we don't, of course, have it here. I said, you're entering Toronto. By the way, we care about speed. And, you know, it's in kilometers per hour. So say you're supposed to be going 75 kilometers, whatever the hell that is. 90, $30 ticket, 100, $200 ticket, 110, car impounded. Da-da-da. Right there for you. If you can't read, you can't read. I'm sorry. You know, that's just me. What's wrong with that? And they actually had squad cars out there. Imagine that. I don't know, Jenna. The Iraq thing, two things. One is we can't afford it. You know, I was talking to Audrey and her friend Nancy. Audrey will be on the show today. I don't think current people that aren't as old as you and me have any idea what this world looks like if all of a sudden these interest rates go to 10%. I mean, the amount of every house that Audrey's selling now, and she's been pretty busy the last couple of weeks, every house has gone over list. Everyone is you know, so many people can't sell because their mortgage is 3%. I think, what percentage, before Audrey comes in, what percentage of homeowners do you think right now bought their house 5 to 7 years ago before COVID, and have a and say they paid $350 for it at a 3% mortgage, they could now afford the same house at $450 at a 6% mortgage?
None.
I'm going to say 10%.
Maybe, yeah.
And you know what's even more bizarre is Audrey had a chance, and I still do my hacking around in my place, trying to, one, because it needs it, two, is because I want to keep tabs on the prices for the show. But Audrey showed a house this weekend, and I'm not talking out of school because nobody wanted it. The thing was 3.25, some south suburb. And she goes, "God, the place was terrible." And the people that she showed it to ended up, I think, buying another place, but because she showed them like 20 houses over the weekend. Oh, it does a hell of a job. And anyway, she goes, "The thing's got like a $350 bid for it." And I go, "All right." I mean, I ask her questions, you know, regarding the show. Last thing I do is get in her business because she knows what she's doing, and I don't. So whenever she's on the phone with somebody, I kind of go to the other room and watch the Cubs. Which, by the way, for 2 days kind of sucked, but yesterday was okay. The Masters was okay. And Jan, you're supposed to be getting us tickets. Yeah. And what about Matt Byrne? He's our producer. Why didn't we get press passes to the Masters?
They kept screening my calls, and that's not, you know.
So what kind of producer are you? We should be in the skybox at the Masters, for God's sake.
Pull passes like the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably have a better chance asking the statue of Harry Carey out there for a pair of tickets.
What are the Stooges? Press, pull? Hey, wait a minute. Get back here.
Something like that.
Anyway, the you know what I think part of it is? I said, you just remodel a place. I think most people are still in the mindset that if you get some place that needs, you know, bathrooms, kitchens, new floors, maybe some new windows, that your number is $50,000. It's not. It's $150,000.
Yep.
I don't think people, I mean, unless you do it, I'm not saying people are dumb, they're not. Unless you do it, how would you know how expensive this stuff has become? I mean, how would you, unless your transmission breaks on your new truck, how would you know it's $6,000 to fix it and not $1,500 or $2,000? Unless, unfortunately, it happened to you.
But
right?
It's not something that the average homeowner does more than once or twice in their lives, you know, depending on, you know, how often they really had to move and had to invest a lot of money in a fixer-upper. Talk about sticker shock.
Well, I mean, if you, most people, if you buy a house that's 20 years old, the house is probably in good shape. Okay, but now look at it. If it's the original AC, the original furnace, the original windows. How many people, if a regular house has got, I'm not talking about some, you know, big shack in Winnetka someplace, you got to have, what, 20, 25 windows? Yep. 15 to 30, somewhere in there. And how much is it a window? $2,500, wait a minute, $2,500 a window, and I got how many of these things?
Right.
No, nobody makes, I mean, you look at the thing and you say, I need windows in 5 years or 4 years. How many people go online or get an estimate and say 5 years from now, what is it going to cost? Well, as long as Trump's in office, they might be $4,000 a window, the way we're going here. What? By the way, since I have you on a Monday, we'll segue into this. Why did everybody just not even care about the CPI number on Friday? It's 0.9%. It was supposed to be 1. 1 was the unadjusted number. So the unadjusted numbers the last 3 months are 1. 0.5, 0.4. Right, so that averages out to, it's what? 21 divided by 3 is 0.7. 0.7 times 12 is what? It's 8%, 9%, right?
Yep.
Isn't that a problem? And nobody seemed to care.
Yeah, nope. Didn't create a blip, really.
Oh, so no, it Don't worry, oil's coming back down. Does anybody really believe that?
I think one of the problems is I think people assume it's even more than that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think everybody on the show does, even the
and so there's this sense of well, that's only if they're only that far off. Well, you know, with wait till next month, they're never going to get it right in the way most people think about this. So it could just be a general distrust of the numbers, or just a fatalism that's kind of crept in here, where nobody gets excited anymore because they don't see a way out. And they don't see any possibility of improving. So is this just kind of this is the way it's going to be? Is there nothing to get excited about?
But what's your definition of don't believe the numbers? If the number is 1, you mean it could be 0.8 or it could be 1.2?
Right.
Or do you mean it's really 2 and they're just lying and telling us it's 1?
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Well, there's a difference there.
Yeah, but I just, in the long run, people generally are not... They're not as upset as we would think maybe they should be in absolute terms. If there's anything to get upset about, this would seem to be, front and center.
So if you beat everybody every day, they don't get so upset about being beaten?
Yeah.
A view of the future. It might be accurate.
It's a fatigue factor, or it's just, a sense of, do with me what you will. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm just going to, hunker down a little more. It isn't like this creates any kind of a rupture in any kind of good feelings people have, or they're out marching in the streets or anything like that. At least not yet.
Well, they are in Ireland.
It is curious, I must say.
They are in Ireland.
Well, yeah, that's. Well, they got a government there.
Were you on earlier when I was talking about that?
Yeah, I was listening when you and John.
Is that wild?
Well, it's eerily similar to. What happened in Canada? They're doing the same thing now to turn the corner on this. They're debanking the protesters, just like they were doing in Canada. So these people's bank accounts have been frozen in Ireland. And Ireland's got a lot of, bad decisions on the part of their government doesn't even begin to cover it. They've become enslaved by the EU in the same way, the UK.
Well, Northern Ireland is not in the EU, right?
Right.
No, it is not. It is British.
No, it's part of Brexit, and this is one of the sticklers for Brexit, is what to do with Ulster, with Northern Ireland.
Well, so are you in the camp that Rory McIlroy is not really Irish?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time they didn't have an Irish leader leading the country.
Well, no, I'm saying the guy who won the Masters.
They bought the globalist Kool-Aid.
He technically is an Orangeman, so yes, he would be British.
Because my buddy Larry Murphy, who's been in a nursing home for a while, he went to talk about a Southside old grumpus. He was an elevator operator on the big buildings. Perfect job for him. He was by himself all day. But anyway, interesting guy. So he sees, this years ago, he sees Rory McIlroy on TV, and he goes, "He's not an Irishman. He's from the North. What the hell kind of Irishman is he?" And I'm going, okay then. I suppose if you thought about it, maybe. But I just assume if you're from Ireland, you at least say you're Irish, but not according to him.
No, I mean, that's the kind of the, it's very, well, you didn't talk about Hungary yet, did you, Tom?
A little bit, but my question is, if you're running for alderman, do you want J.D. Vance campaigning for you?
Well, I guess it depends what ward you're in.
I suppose it. Well, it didn't work out so well for the guy in Hungary. Of course, he might actually got him votes. Who knows? But
I think there's a lot of, the EU had really put the screws to Hungary to punish Orban and anybody who supported him. And, people got tired of that. He's been in 16 years, so there's a real, sense of, people have grown up with him and like him. There's a whole bunch of people who have come, of voting age, since, he's been in there, and they've never known anybody else, and they're sick of that. They want to change.
Who's the new guy? I don't know anything about him. Are you?
Magyar, who's he's an EU puppet. So, the EU is rejoicing over this time. So, this is just what they've wanted to do. They're going to have open borders and all the things that Soros wants for them, and Orban didn't. But, they're going to get it. Now they're going to get it pretty hard, I think.
Well, I mean, since when is everybody here who's a MAGA guy against the EU?
Well, isn't it everybody's nightmare to have something like the EU?
Well, I don't know. It's a. I will say that.
Would they countermand your elections? Who would want that?
After all these years, I only had three people on the show that I thought were horseshit guests, and one of them was a guy from Finland who was an EU representative. God, was he an ass? It was right after the Brexit, right? And we had people on the show because we had guys that I talked to. Stacks and Jacks actually called the Brexit vote when everybody thought it was going to go the other way. And how do we do that? First of all, I'm not that smart, but I talked to people. And our buddy Robert, or my buddy from the Fed, he was over doing speaking for the Fed. Robert's an expert on international settlements. So if he was still here, he moved away because he retired. I'd love to talk to him about, you know, how exactly is Iran getting their money and what was Epstein doing. It's not like he knows Epstein, but Robert knows how all this stuff is supposed to happen through the settlement system. I mean, he's a genius in it. Anyway, he was in London. He's one of these history bluffs like you, John. So he figures, I don't know, last time I'm going to get over here. So he takes the train down to, what's the port where, what's his name's boat is? Ship? Admiral Nelson or whatever. Is it Nelson? Where's his ship? Is in where's the port south of London?
Dover.
It's Portsmouth?
Yes, yeah, so he takes the train down there to see whatever this guy... It's like the U.S. Constitution is stolen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, I'm in London. Everybody says Brexit's going to lose. He goes, the second I get on the train, everybody's voting to get out of there. Everybody. He goes, the difference in the polling was just... I mean... Because if you're polling in London, you got one answer. If you're polling, 50 yards out of London, you got another answer. And he goes, I think they're out of there. So I mentioned that on the show. And of course, everybody disagreed with me. But it wasn't me. It was him. And you know what's interesting, Jan, is I don't know if you remember this, about the polling, or Jimmy, is that somehow or another, you know, when you do polling, what you try and do, if you can, you try and pull people that are likely to vote, right? Now, how you do that, I don't know. I mean, I guess you got to identify who voted the last time or the last two times. Somehow over in Britain, people must live... this is an opinion here. People must live in the same house for like a long period of time.
They do.
And there were people that hadn't voted, you know, I'm going to say 2 decades. So they weren't part of any... Nobody went out and asked them, hey, Matt Byrne, you haven't voted since 1950. Why would you go out and ask Matt Byrne how he was going to vote? And I think these people came out of the woodwork to vote, get the hell out of there. And that's why the polls were so screwed up. Because people that they never thought were going to vote actually came out and voted. Now here, I think people move more often. It's not that it couldn't happen here, but I'm not so sure that people who haven't voted in 5-6 elections, maybe they would come out for certain elections, I don't know, but I think that was the issue. What do you think? Both of you guys think?
Yeah, well, I think you know, it was Cameron was the prime minister when he called for the referendum. I thought at the time, only somebody who didn't know the temper of the country would have ever gone out on a limb like that and taken such a risk.
I thought it was Boris. I just know I have cousins and an aunt living over there. Now, they're Londoners. They don't think the Brexit was a great deal. And a lot of other people are now starting to see it probably wasn't a great deal.
You mean to get out or in?
To get out.
How does anybody know?
Well, prices are higher. The pound is not worth as much as they were told it would be worth. The deal that they have negotiated with the EU is not as good as they thought that they could do it individually. The people in Scotland want to be part of the EU, but they are not independent from Britain. Same with Northern Ireland. They would like to be part of the EU, but again, they have no vote in Parliament. Well, they are a territory.
Well, it's not surprising that the people who voted to leave think it's a good idea and the people who didn't think it was a bad idea.
No, but I do think that they have some economic uncertainty because of it. And, you know, what's it added? Be careful of what you want. You might get it. Now the problem is that they have a little bit of a hangover.
Well, you know, Chris Manzi used to come out and help us out with the currency stuff. And he was kind of familiar with some of the things regarding commodities. I think he told me that the regulations on lettuce or cabbage were 75 pages long. And Lou talked at the time about how just the week of the vote that the idiots decided to have regulate something like British tea kettles or something, which went over like a fart in an iron lung. Anyway, this guy comes in like a week or two after, and he would, boy, talk about a pompous ass. And I said, well, you know, what do you think of this, you know, the Brexit stuff? I mean, obviously, you guys are the European Union aren't all that happy about it. And he said, well, it's just another example of politicians not telling their people how to vote. I go, wait a minute. Isn't that supposed to be kind of the other way around? Is the voters pick the politicians? I don't know. You're a politician, you got to tell people what to do, and they're supposed to do it. And I'm going, well, that's a view of the world. But, I mean, for those that don't know, I mean, you know, you think Britain has a government. You think, well, used to have a government. You think they have a government. France or any of these other people. There's actually how many people that sit in the European Union government is in Brussels, right, Jim?
Yeah, it's
hundreds. So there's hundreds of people in this thing that actually make all the rules. I mean, I don't know, in the U.S., you know, as crazy as we are, I don't think you'd want somebody in Argentina making rules on teapots for people in America, would you?
Well, no, this is what happened in Romania when, you know, the elections went against the globalist agenda and the EU Parliament negated member states' elections. Well, you know, why would anybody, you know, want local elections if you know, you had something higher up that's going to
dictate how is there, made the right decision? You're the attorney amongst us. What is their enforcement power? What if Britain says, we're going to let some people sell whatever teapots they want? I mean, they don't have an army, they don't have a police. I mean, what is their...
They can punish their member states. So they can.
What can you do to them?
Taxation.
Yeah, fine the hell out of them.
So if Britain doesn't go along with their cabbage page 74, they can fine Britain,
right? Or they can boycott. You know, they can do all sorts of enforcement measures. And just if you remember state, what are you going to do? Vote against it? You know, look at everybody else.
I would think that a lot of this stuff is. I mean, hell, our speed laws are unenforceable.
I think the irony in Britain now, and when you talk about the kind of the sour taste about Brexit, you know, Jim, I think there is some of that, but I think it's largely due to the fact that Britain's ended up getting what it has now, which is exactly why they voted for Brexit 2016, and it's still come to roost, and they've still got the, you know, the globalists like Starmer running the show. Nothing really improved. Brexit was never a clean break. They stalled on it. You know, they did all the song and dance to put kids down the road.
No, John.
So, and now they've got exactly what they feared they would get if they stayed in the EU. So, you know, in a way, it's
they still have all the common market stuff, right?
They do and they don't. I mean, the EU negotiates separately, but you know, it's not like everybody in the EU needs British stuff. But Britain does import a lot of stuff from the EU. You know, it is not an equal trade imbalance. It's not like you're buying a ton of British wool or this or oil or anything from Britain. You know, you're buying some stuff, but it's not equal. That's the thing. And now they are kind of stuck where they were. I mean, I think the biggest thing was in the EU at some point they were supposed to get rid of the pound. They were allowed to have it, but at some point they were allowed to have the pound.
Well, Sweden doesn't have it.
Well,
neither does Switzerland.
Switzerland's not part of the EU.
All right, well, they're part of the place or the middle.
Switzerland is neutral, but no. Under the EU original agreement, the British pound was allowed to have, they were allowed to have their own currency.
Yeah, they carved that out as an exception, which they didn't allow in other places.
Correct.
Well, but it comes down to the government growing. The idea was the British thought, and years ago, hell, John, you and I were alive, the common market. You know, this is crazy. Plus, we did, when I was on the score with John, we talked about if you went from Italy, if you drove, well, you could drive to England, but if you drove from Italy to up north somewhere, you had to go through how many border checkpoints, you know.
You spent your entire time going to the Bureau de Change to change your money.
Yeah, and when we went over to do some, when we were lecturing at the Austrian and German banks in 1991, it seemed like every 50 feet I'm changing currency.
Yeah.
And you go, well, this isn't very efficient, which it wasn't, okay? So how do you get from solving those problems to put a bunch of bleeps in one spot? I mean, it's like putting... It's like putting people in charge of FINRA, regulating firms like PTI. Oh man, you can't use your phone. You can't text a client. Why? Well, because if you text your client on your phone, that means somebody in your office has to see every single one of your text messages. What's one got anything to do with the other? Oh no, if you're going to use that as a way of communication, you got to save every one of your text messages for somebody inside to look at. Okay. I mean, who thinks that crap up? And that's why all of our Notre Dame gentlemen constantly sending me stuff on Facebook and on Instagram. I don't have Facebook or Instagram. If I did, my brother would have to look at every single one of my Facebook posts because it could be a kind of, I mean, this, the regulators just grow their way into existence. I mean, there's no way on earth that when people decided to... stop checking a truck driver every 50 feet, or the same thing with the currency, that you put hundreds of people in one spot worrying about 75 pages of stuff on cabbage. They go to work every day trying to figure out. I think, John, we're probably 5 years away of me not being able to talk to a client without somehow taping it. Because if I can't text them without it being watched, every email, we have to go through a FINRA-sponsored email person. Gee, what do you suppose the grift is there?
Yeah.
So every one of our emails, if you send me an email and I delete it, it's not deleted. Because they still have it. But that's okay. I use my work email for my work, okay? And so but I mean, if somebody sends me something from Stocks and Jacks, it's on there. And these people get to read it. Okay, why? I mean, if you send me an email from my PTI security saying you get to read it. These guys get to read it if they want to. Well, why exactly? But the only fly in the ointment is I could still talk to somebody on the phone. Or I'm sure we're very close to every phone conversation with a client having to be taped. And so, okay, then what's the hole? The hole is you and I go out and have a beer and we talk. Well, wait a minute. Pretty soon am I going to be...
That'll be taped too, Tom.
Well, it'll either be taped or not allowed. I mean, one or the other. So, I mean, right. It's not the first time that somebody has a job to do and immediately once goes way beyond the job. And I think the British got pissed at it. The British are stubborn people. It doesn't make them bad. They don't want... They elect their, you know, House of Commons and whatever. They think that's their governing body. And the European Union says, no, they're not anymore. We are. Well, like I said, it goes over like a fart in church, right?
Well, it's the same relationship we have with the U.N., you know?
Well,
non-relationship, whatever you want to call it. I mean, we didn't like the UN calling shots, knowing how they tended to vote, you know, in the Security Council against us, you know, on critical stuff. We didn't feel that we had an ally in the UN.
Yeah, but with the Security Council, honestly,
we have
you have to have every Security Council member, you have to have a unanimous vote, right? So how many times has Russia said, I'm not going to vote? Or I disagree and kill it. Or China.
Well, the only reason we got this Korean War is the Russia
worked
out.
And the kind of things that the Security Council votes on, even. And, you know, the politics behind, you know, shaming another member or pushing another member. I mean, the whole thing turned into kind of a, you know, a PR game and it was all going one way.
Well, God help them if they disagree with Trump, then there's everything's wrong with them.
But you know, you don't want someone like the UN dictating PTI's business, do you, Todd?
I think that something like this comment you just made is honestly, Jan, so grossly over the top. It doesn't mean that every single department that the UN does with the stuff they do for kids, they actually have done some pretty good nation building in places that have just horrendous situations. I mean, if the losers that run, say, Sudan are ever thrown out of office and somebody wants somebody to go in and try and put a government together, over a period of 60 years, 70 years, the UN has actually done some of that pretty well. And they have things they do well. It doesn't mean I want to give over my politics to them in terms of world politics. I'm with you on that. But to say they disagree with Trump or somebody on something doesn't mean that every single department there is a loser. A lot of stuff we don't want to do, and it should be a bunch of nations together doing it. It shouldn't be our job or the Brits' job alone to go, you know, someplace, somewhere. Israelis ever stop killing people, you would think putting Lebanon back together again should be a UN job, shouldn't it? It should be a bunch of combined countries getting together and say, okay, we got to fix this place. The theory of it doesn't bother me at all. Has it been allowed to get co-opted and maybe corrupted like everything else? Probably, but it doesn't mean they don't have a job to do and haven't done a good job once in a while.
No, you know, the way they meddled in, you know, the climate issue and, you know, world health.
Okay, so we don't want to send them to Lebanon to put the thing back together because you don't agree with their climate problems. I mean, one has nothing to do with the other.
Well, tell that to the UN. Get them to think straight about this stuff.
Okay,
but they don't think straight about this stuff.
Whatever. I mean, I'm saying that there are stuff, there is a reason for nations to get together and have some combined effort to do stuff places. The theory of it, there's nothing wrong with it. Now, if people not paid attention to them, if people not put the right people there, if people ignored them, if people not paid their dues, yeah, I'm with you on all that. But it still doesn't mean that if there's a problem in some place we never heard about, we want to send our people there all the time. It should be a combined effort, shouldn't it?
Right. Well, it's in the same boat as NATO, in my thinking now, really.
We like NATO, except when they do something we don't like.
No, we paid the bill, and everybody else
we didn't pay the bill. We didn't pay the bill. That's total bullshit. People didn't. Everybody's convinced that we paid these other people's bills. We didn't. They did not put as much in their defense as they should have. We didn't make.
We were supplying their defense, Tom.
We did it because we wanted to.
Well, you know.
Right?
That's when they were allies of ours, too.
They are allies
especially
of ours.
They are not.
As soon as we get this guy out of office, they'll be allies again, I hope.
Yeah, that's where they'll be.
Okay, well, I mean.
Politically.
I think
there's a bright spot here, though, too, Tom. You know, that this was kind of buried in the news the other day, but Starmer has now pulled back on the deal to, you know, give the Chagos Islands, including Diego Garcia, to Mauritius. Which I don't think he, being the human rights lawyer that he is, he wouldn't have done, you know, he wouldn't have done in the first place were he not a human rights lawyer. He had absolutely no military thinking going on at all when he did that, and Trump was furious about it. But now he's pulled back on it, so they're not going to give the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. So that tells me that Britain is being somewhat chastened, seeing how this thing is going in Iran, which probably was by design all the time.
Well, you know, a lot of stuff is going on. We only get bits and pieces, and people who listen to the White House have one point of view, and people listen to everybody else have another. And I don't know, sometimes the truth lands on one side or the other, and it's hard to find one in the middle. But the idea that the entire, I mean, Congress is all messed up. Okay, let's get a dictator. Well, okay, we got one. How's that working out? Well, we don't like the UN anymore. Okay, well, now who's gonna do this stuff? It means the U.S. runs around and bombs everybody they want without asking the UN. Does anybody think that that's a good idea? The other countries don't. I mean, this Iran situation should be a combined effort. It's not.
Well, you're thinking about the UN the way it was at the time of Korea time, and it hasn't been that way for a long time.
But we didn't even try. But I'm saying, you let something degrade, then you say it's no good. I mean, I happen to know, you know, some people who actually got UN passports to do some stuff, and they're involved in a lot of stuff that I don't, you know, that I don't want to talk about on the air, that I don't think they should necessarily be doing. But there's all kinds of the places in Africa that have the, you know, the guy running the place that is nothing more than a guy grabbing money. I think the somebody like the UN is should be taking care of that. It should. You can't wait for one country to try and fix it.
Well, the UN is enabling it.
What do you mean by enabling it?
Well, they're giving us the veneer of, you know, they don't reprimand these, you know.
And neither do we. Do we care if we're buying coal and nuts from some place if the guy up top is torturing people and gets 10% of the coal and nuts? We don't care, do we?
It depends how badly we need coal and nuts.
Okay, well, it's, you know.
It's always been that way.
Hey, yeah, we only got a minute here. Is there a latest on these buildings downtown, or is it the same as last time we talked about it?
Well, they're not getting any better. there was just a thing in the newspaper I just saw the other day about converting. I can't remember the location of this building. I think it's in the West Loop, which, you know, has generally done better than the Loop proper property values. But it's a building that's being converted now to, I think, entirely housing. It's not a huge building. I can't think of the name of it, but I got to go back.
John, other than some executive, who the hell wants to live down here?
That's the thing, Tom. None of this, and if it's subsidized housing, which was what Brandon Johnson, you know, conceives, you're going to be packaging people who don't have access to affordable groceries. They don't have schools. They don't have jobs. They're not going to be anything more than just a ward of the state, and, you know, we're paying the rent as the taxpayers. This is no solution
Cabrini,
to anything.
Cabrini Green.
Better to detonate the building and, you know, let it sit for a while, figure out what we're going to do down.
Well, you can't ever rip them down, because nothing ever goes up in their spot. It's so much easier to remodel than it is to.
Yeah, but remodeling's got all sorts of, you know, doom and gloom of its own. Really, to me, it's just there's no way you can make these buildings turn the kind of tax revenue as residential properties they did when they were commercial.
Well, I don't want
so unless you have some kind of plan for.
Brandon Johnson wants what? Is Cabrini Green on LaSalle Street? I don't think people want that.
No, nor does the assessor, nor do we, the taxpayer. You know?
Well, S&P futures down 44, NASDAQ is down 160. We're right about here since we started. That's why we have been. We go to a quick break. Come back. We should have Audrey.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Listen. Are you a 50-year-old person looking for term life insurance? Then you need to talk to Bob. Bob specializes in helping people find $1 million or more of term life insurance for a couple of $100 a month. Look, you need to know there's a price war in the term life insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call Bob, and he'll shop and see how much money he can save you. Look, this could be the last term life insurance policy you ever have. Your rates are guaranteed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. And if you're a smoker or your health is not perfect, Bob has great rates for you too. So for $1 million of term life insurance coverage for a couple of $100 a month, call Bob right now. 800-989-1415. 800-989-1415. 800-989-1415. That's 800-989-1415. Paid for by Term Direct.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3900. 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
I'm an American. You're sick.
Hello, and welcome to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howe. Matt Byrne on the board. Jimmy Waller in studio. Jan Flanning on the phone. Should have Audrey on the phone. So I'm reading this thing about a conclusion of one of Wayne and Andrew's buddies is that the 1946 NFL championship game was indeed fixed. So, Jan Flanning in the first. Oh, no, no, no. anyway, it was interesting. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. It was a new commissioner, new everything, and they think it might have been fixed. I can't imagine that. Can you, Jan?
I'm shocked.
Well, there's somebody who's trying to write some papers regarding how the sports betting going right now is really a bad idea. But sorry, as long as there's money there, nobody cares. It can never be fixed, right?
Can it be pulled back? I don't see how.
I don't see either. NASDAQ futures now 143. Like I say, we're back about almost half the way from last night, which is kind of indicative of these days where we go down. Because of war news, we come right back up. So it's been that way. We'll see if it hangs in there. Over in Europe, they were down early, but not huge. Well, DAX is still down over 1%, 276. FTSE down 48.5%. CAC around almost 1%, down 79. So they're still getting whacked there a little bit. Asia, Nikkei down 421.7. Hang Seng down 232.9. Shanghai up 2, so call that flat. So not much going on there. Bonds up 2 basis points, 4.33. The Bund up 4 basis points, 3.08. So I don't think mortgage rates are going down anytime soon. I've got the 30-year at 4.93 and the 10-year at 4.34. So kind of where they've been really since the war started. Oil's up a bunch, up 7.16, 102.36. Natural gas up 7 cents, 2.71. RBOB up 13 cents now, 3.17. So don't expect your gasoline to go down anytime soon. Gold was down 100 bucks, now it's down 60 bucks. It's 1.2%. Silver down 249, that's 3%, that's a lot. Foreign exchange, the dollar is gaining here, as you might expect. Euro's down to 116.9, it was over 117. Pound at 134.2, it was over 35. Crypto, down 318, right around 70,832. Matt, quick traffic, weather, sports.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Currently 7:36 a.m. on April 13th, 2026. 65 degrees at O'Hare and Midway right now. Cloudy skies with 87% humidity. Nice day for some short shirts and short pants. Later today, high of 77 with a possibility of some sun in the afternoon. Tonight, low of 66 and a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Over to sports, we didn't mention this earlier, but the Masters Tournament was yesterday. Rory McIlroy took home first place for $4.5 million with a final score of -12.
It was second time in a row. Fourth person to do it.
Scottie Scheffler came in second, and four players, Hatton, Henley, Rose, and Young, sounds like a band, they tied for third. That was the Masters Tournament.
Well, you can't ever count that Scheffler guy out, can you?
That's right.
No, he was playing par, and then all of a sudden got three birdies and was in it. Roy held on.
He was way out the first day. Do we have Audrey?
Yes, you do.
Hey, Audrey, how are you?
Good morning, everybody.
We were talking, as you know, well, you were there. We're talking to Nancy about mortgage rates, and was talking to you, obviously, about housing prices and. I mentioned earlier that was your opinion that a lot of people that buy houses that need a lot of work now maybe aren't as up to date on how much it costs to update a house as maybe they ought to be.
Well, I think it's hard to keep up with everything the way it's been changing, but unless if you've never renovated a house or if you've renovated one even 5 years ago, the prices, difference in material pricing and labor, which I think we talked about, say. Which shocked me also when I was working on a house last year that labor used to be a third of your total, and now labor is like 50% easily, maybe more.
Yeah, it's we were talking about even the price of windows. If you look at your windows and go, I need windows and
windows three, four, are three, four. Up about 320% in the last 6 years. One window guy told me.
That's really something. I wonder, did you say why?
Who knows? You know, it all started during the pandemic. And they did, they have soared. I even had gotten a quote on one door for myself that I had put one in, let's say 20 years ago, and I think it was $3,500, and the same door from a different company, but the same size door, that hasn't changed, was now $12,000.
That's kind of a lot of dough for a door.
For a sliding door. I thought that was, I was like, well, maybe I'll just make this one work for a little while longer.
Well, haven't sliding doors always been, you got to remember, Robin used to be on the show, her husband his dad designed them and he built them, real high-end houses. Matter of fact, he built two for Senator Lauderman from New Jersey, and you know, he tells me a story about he built one for one of the mafia guys, and every day the guy would show up and pay all the workers cash. But I think what he said, the biggest lead time item if you want a real high-end house is your sliding glass door. There's a guy in Vermont, evidently, that you got to wait 3 years, and this is a while ago, to get one. And they were 40 grand. But he goes,
well, you'll probably real wood,
yeah,
you know, carved with, you know, your high-end glass and all that good stuff. So, well, you know, if you want to go higher than that, I'm sure you can, but it's amazing. It's very expensive. It's very expensive to put windows in. And, you know, what I've learned the hard way is that a lot of people make a great window, but not very many companies put a good window in. And installation is everything.
Well, I think so you said this one was...
I had a couple of people who did terrible jobs who put them in crooked and, you know, not enough insulation. And you spend more time fixing their bad job. So finding a good window person is a hard thing to do.
Good enough for government work, they used to say. Well, I think he told me that the sliding part of this thing, this guy, they were ball bearing or something.
They've got different kinds now. Yeah. They have ball bearings. There's different kinds of mechanisms that have come a long way since then. But what's really cool now is if you have a big wall of windows, is those collapsing windows that can collapse six or seven onto each other and open up a whole wall. And then a electronic screen comes down.
Wow. Well, it's
very cool.
It's all kind of fun. But the state of the market for you is pretty good, because there's not a lot of houses, and if you get a buyer, they have to go quick, right?
Oh, they're going so quick, but it's a tough road for buyers again this year. I think it's almost right now. Well, it's definitely worse than it was a couple of months ago. The interest rate eased up a little bit. More people were willing to put their house on the market because they would buy something else. Now we've popped up. We're back over 7, and people are still looking, but a lot of people are not listing. So we've again got that log jam starting early, and the competition is fierce. It's fierce. Negotiations are tough. People are offering concessions. So it's you're not getting any bargains this year, especially on a move-in ready house.
Well, how many houses that you look at? I mean, you told me how many. The last couple of buyers, last 3 days. What'd you tell me you showed? 20 houses? How many of them are actually move in ready? A tenth of them?
I would say maybe 8, which I'm fussy though. So that, but what I would consider move in ready, not a lot of people. But it's still, if even if it's a house that maybe just needs, you know, painting, flooring, simple things, they are still, it's all flying off the shelves. It's the right neighborhood. It's the right size. People are willing to look more at properties that need some work or to live with it the way it is if they can't get their HGTV dream house right now. Because there simply is, and right now there's just a shortage of them. And they're gone the same day or the next day, or multiple offers, not 2 or 3, 7 or 8 or 10. So pretty fierce out there. You have to be ready for it. It's very hard for buyers because you get your hopes up and then you're disappointed if you lose it. Then you start again, you fall in love, you might lose it again. So it's you have to be consistent. And I can tell the people you like the house, but don't fall in love until we close.
Yeah, well, you know, what's funny, right? I mean, I guess I should have known this, but I certainly have learned it from you doing your stuff, is that people think, you know, because of the inflation we've had for the last 25 years, which I think is intentional, and it's really intentional now, people have this weird feeling. If they buy a house and they live in there with, like, you know, 2-3 kids, not that the kids aren't behaved or anything, if they don't sell it for more than they walked in there with, even though they never spent a dime in a damn place, they think they got robbed. When in fact, you've used up the water heater, the air conditioner, the heater, the windows of the kitchen. I mean, you've probably done, for somebody to walk in and have it the same condition when you walked in, it's probably $100,000 to get you there. And they think, I mean, people have been, they think because it's happened, they think that that's all.
Well, you're
somewhere.
Still going to sell. If you've owned your house for the last two years and up, you're going to make money no matter what you did to it.
Well, you're actually making way more than you think you're making because you actually use some of it up, right? I mean, nobody thinks you drive a car for 5 years and there isn't some repair that needs to be done when you sell it to the next guy, right?
Well, every now and then I see, like, the Harvest Gold wall oven, and it's a little bit of shag carpeting. So, yeah, sometimes you do see that yet.
Wait a minute. John Flanagan
has... I saw last week a Harvest Gold electric wall oven that was about the size of a shoebox with a little broiler underneath it, and the clock still worked in it.
Wow.
Oh. It was an analog clock, right?
Yes! Yes, it was. And it was clicking away, and the oven was immaculate. There you go. If you want retro, this was your house.
Are you casting stones at Flanagan's shag carpet conversation pit?
No. I when I moved into this place, I had an avocado stove and range hood. Oh, I thought
wow.
I was so 1968, you know. This was 1997.
We got our bungalow in St. John Fisher had avocado stuff. It was hot.
Yeah, that was the height of style at that point.
Well, that was
colored appliances are coming back in, and yes. The kids are like the old rounded 50s refrigerator. You see some of those, and what's big again is what was big in the, I want to say, early 80s, when you had the cabinet furniture look cover your refrigerator to make it look like it wasn't a refrigerator. That's coming back in a little bit too.
I'm gonna say the first color that wasn't white was brown, and the second one was avocado. Was that the
then
progression?
Almond, yeah. Gold. Almond was the newer one, and then it went to white. Then stainless came in and blew everybody else away.
Does the industry have any issues, Odd? What if rates sneak up more from here? What happens to everybody?
Well, at some point in time, it'll put a brake on it. I mean, obviously, as the interest rate grows up, you cut more people out of the market, and this is the prime season now. So it's happening now, not as much as it was probably 60 days ago. But it's still, because people still do have to live somewhere, and what they're going to compromise on what kind of house they could buy at what price range. But if you're in a bind, and it still is cheaper in many ways than renting, because renting is astronomical right now. And again, talk about a shortage of housing that people are looking for. You know, depending in certain areas, it's almost non-existent. So, you know, people are caught between a rock and a hard place right now. But again, historical norms were 8%. Of course, not at this price level. I actually think that we will see an easing. I think when the world settles down a little bit, I think we'll be back in the sixes by midsummer.
Well, that would surely be nice. That would be nice. So what? I read the list or heard the list.
I'm hoping by June. That's what I'm hoping for.
I heard the list of the areas where housing prices are going down. It really doesn't seem to be spreading. Florida.
No, you're seeing it's still in, like, maybe I think Texas and Florida, but you know, it's been hanging pretty steady around the Chicago metro area.
What effect? The prices are pretty high now. But what effect is the idea in Illinois? And I'm sure they're not alone. That for the last 30 years, property taxes have gone up twice the rate of inflation. Is that It's got to be countrywide, I would think. And but what does that do to...
It's not like Illinois is. We are, what, the third highest tax state? I mean, we are terrible. I mean, it is chasing people out. I mean, I have to tell you, I really don't see a need to stay in Illinois because I'm not getting much for my taxes.
I don't think that we're the third highest. We're up there, but
I want to say we're number three. I'll have to check it out for you. But my taxes have, let's see.
You're talking just property tax or total?
What?
You're talking just property tax or total?
No, just property taxes. I would say might have just about tripled since I've moved in here.
Well, that's three times the rate of inflation, she said, right, Jen?
Yeah.
Almost tripled. But that's not, I guess my question is, that's not counted the CPI, which is kind of bizarre. And obviously it has to count when Nancy figures out whether you can afford your mortgage, right? So if that had gone up the rate of inflation, housing prices would probably be a little higher economically, wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they be?
In Illinois, at least, yeah. Like I said, I have friends who live in Indiana, and their taxes are so much more reasonable, even living close to Lake Michigan. So, you know, that's an interesting piece of information. And,
Chief, so we're actually number six.
Is that property tax or
property
total?
Tax is number one, New Jersey, New Hampshire, Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts, Illinois, California, Vermont.
Number one in the Midwest.
Okay, yep. Number one in the Midwest, probably, yes. But
well, thank you.
We are not, we're only six, but that's still pretty high.
Out of 50, I think that's pretty high.
Well, that's property taxes. I mean, we don't tax retirement income. A lot of states do.
Yeah, if you live that long.
Well, no, I'm just talking property
stress
taxes.
Stress about paying your property taxes give you a stroke. What's the point?
But I mean, what does Indiana charge if you got a nice car for your thing every year?
I'll take that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm saying the property taxes.
It's a trade-off, but it's not, believe me, you're still behind in Illinois with the housing taxes.
All right. Well, I'm going to find out. I had this thing that I managed to slip away.
There's something in Indiana too where you don't pay taxes on certain grocery items or something.
Well, the gas tax in Illinois is high. The sales tax is high. I mean, I don't think anybody comes close to California with the income tax.
No, but Chief, you do have to listen to this. New Jersey, their average property tax is $95.90.
Wow. That's the average, or is that...
That is the average.
Okay, when you say average, is it the mean or the median?
It says average dollar amount.
All right, so
$9,590.
Right, so that's the mean.
And Jim, I don't know if you heard this recent study that they said that New Jersey, 44.1% of 18 to 34-year-olds are living at home.
I wouldn't doubt that.
That's the highest in the country.
I couldn't afford to live anywhere. Your parents are probably living with the grandparents.
I mean, Illinois is...
And why does anybody want to live in Jersey anyway?
Hey, I grew up in New Jersey. A lot of people want to live
in
New Jersey.
Wait a minute,
Jimmy
grew
up
in...
And here you are.
Yeah, Jimmy grew up in New Jersey. That says it all.
I grew up in New Jersey because you could buy... You're close to Manhattan. You could buy a lot of land. Unlike here. When I moved from here to New Jersey, we had an acre of land. Then we moved to... Wilmette, and it's a quarter acre.
If you didn't go to Wilmette, you could have gone down south and got 10 acres.
Yeah. You could have, but in New Jersey, there are places that you can buy 10 acres of land. You're also closer to both two major cities, Philadelphia and New York. I mean...
Wait a minute, how do you spell that, Art?
Yeah.
That's not a selling point for me, but go ahead.
Okay, I mean, that it's
but
just...
But to each his own, everybody likes them. So would you go back there today?
Sure.
How many exits were you down the pike?
We were four exits.
So every further exit, you get poorer, right?
Not necessarily. People around Princeton, it's actually a very nice area to live.
Because isn't Maria Bartiromo a Jersey girl, right?
Yes.
I know the story in New York. They'd always ask, How many exits are you down the pike, and the further you got away, the more they didn't like you so much?
Well, they call them bridges and trolls, meaning people that go over the bridges and people that go into the tunnels.
Ah, God. So, what are you? What is the health of the industry on? I mean, you and seems like you and Nancy are doing well, but you got everybody you're doing stuff for. You did stuff from a family member or a friend of theirs. What if I decided to become a realtor tomorrow? What am I doing?
Well, you know, it's a lot of work, but you know, when you become a real estate agent, you're self-employed. So I think the rule of thumb is, in the business world, it's 3 to 5 years to establish a new business of any type. So you have to remember that you pay for everything on your own. You're not getting a paycheck every 2 weeks. And you have to have a cash cushion that, what if you don't sell something for 3 months or 6 months? And if you work for a company, Powell Baker or any big franchise, Century 21, they take a good chunk of what you make, so you don't get to keep most. But most real estate agents don't get rich. You really, I think it's the top, less than the top 20, like the top 8 or 10% make most of the money. Because it's, as Tom knows, it's a very time-consuming business, and I'm always missing dinners with families and members and stuff, because it's just, you're busy, and a lot of people don't like to put all, you have to put a lot of time in to make it work, but if you do, I love it. I've loved it for a long time, and if you can hang in there and establish a business base, and you treat your customers well, and I think you treat people like you treat yourself, and you're honest, and you provide a good service, you should be able to make it.
Well, the one thing that's kind of weird for me, being a trader, and I deal with this all the time, is in today's world, I mean, obviously, if somebody offers an option at $550 and you buy it, you just buy it. I mean, it's not, there's a kind of no negotiation on the deal. But this phenomenon now where somebody lists a place at $450, you walk in with a $450 bid and they go, oh, no, we got to wait a while, wait around a while. That to me is so bizarre. I know it's just me because I'm in a different business, but that's just crazy to me. But obviously, it's what you're dealing with, and you do a pretty good job at it. But to me, it's how much you want for your car? $20,000. Okay, here's $20,000. I don't know, wait a minute. I got to see if I can get more now. Now that I've figured a fish like you will give me 20, I'm going to try for 21. I mean, it's amazing to me how that it permeates your business. But
it's happening with your favorite subject, trucks, too. Did you tell me you got outbid on those nasty old trucks you were trying to buy?
What do you mean, nasty old trucks? You mean the classics?
Yes.
No, nasty old trucks.
But remember the commercial where the guy walks out and sees his son's car, and son goes, it's a classic, and the old man goes, it's a heap. Nasty old trucks. What do you think about that, John? How's that for a shot across the
board? Oh, those are fighting words.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, just for that, I'm going to go out and buy like an old Bronco or something.
Right.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know what? You got some money to buy.
Set that on fire in the driveway.
Obviously, Aud does not have the idea of these nice old vehicles. And she likes one where they know right where she is. If something breaks, it's $90 million because there's 15 sensors. She likes all that. I don't, you know.
I like my comforts.
I'll get you one with three on the tree, Aud. See how you do.
I'm a good shift driver.
Oh, God. So anyway, what is the dangers, Aud? What are you guys seeing? Is it just mortgage rates? Everything else seems like it's sort of okay, doesn't it, for you guys?
You know what? I think the world is on a day-to-day basis, but right now it's spring season. Things are clicking along. People, I see younger people putting less down. They're qualifying for mortgage, but not everybody's putting 20% down by any stretch of the imagination. So if they put less down, there you have to pay PMI, private mortgage insurance, which adds money, you know, maybe 70, 100, 200 to their monthly mortgage, depending on the price of the house. But if they can afford a payment but don't have a major down payment, then they're just going to do that. They're going to put a conventional mortgage, you can put as little as 3% down now.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost back to where it was in 2007, isn't it?
No, not at all, because the qualification is so much harder.
Okay.
But where are the mortgage insurance rates?
You get put through the ringer to get a mortgage now.
But where are the private insurance mortgage rates if you could put 2% down?
You know what? I'm not sure, to tell you the truth. We'd have that to be a Nancy question. I did notice that some people have purchased something. Oh, I think it was for around $340, and I think they were paying about $1.60, $1.20, $1.60 a month. I can't remember now.
Audrey, I was looking at some statistics the other day. It said that foreclosures had come down in, I think, Cook and Will County since January, but year over year, like from 2025 to now, they had been up 20%, which
I've seen a few more foreclosures pop up, too. And again, it's... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was wondering if you have. If you see short sales, you see, you know, distressed properties in your inventory?
You know, I saw one short sale pop up about a week ago. I think it was in Burbank. But I haven't seen a lot yet. That's going to be, if that's going to be a byproduct of now, it's going to show up in 6 months, 8 months down the road.
Yeah.
Real quick question, guys. We only got a minute. What we talked a little bit with Jan regarding the downtown office stuff, and we talked to Audrey about retail. What's going on in the middle of the road there, the strip mall world? Are they okay, not okay? Those kinds of things. Is there, because Audrey, one of your favorite restaurants just went out. I mean, what's going on in strip mall world? Or if you own a strip mall, do you have 50 vacancies or not? Or is that okay?
For me, I don't. You know what? I've seen some areas fill up those vacancies. I see others sit. So it's kind of hard for me. It's not something that I know a lot about. I can just tell you from observation who's busy, who's not. But it almost seems like it's contagious. If somebody moves out, then somebody else moves out. There's a spot not too far from where I live, off with 143rd. And it's a beautiful strip mall. It's got... a nice high-end restaurant. It's got a Cleaners, but it's got three or four other places right next to each other that can't seem to keep somebody. Now, whether it's the choice of business, how they ran their business, I don't know, but two of those have been vacant for, I want to say, a good 8 months, which I think is a lot. I don't know, John, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the ones that I see flourishing, and some of them are flourishing, you know, there's one at Lawrence and Kimball where the Brown Line ends. And that's, you know, there's four or five buses that come past there. It's a high traffic area. And there was a strip mall that never seems to have any vacancies. And they just had a build out of the big store. It was a T-Mobile phone store. Now it's a Panda Express restaurant, which seems to be, you know, dragging people in left and right. So there's cars coming and going. They've got the advantage of having parking on site, which has been the killer for Chicago street front.
If you really like Chinese food,
people won't stop. Yeah, they'll keep on going.
Yeah.
What one of my good friends and clients, he and his buddies do apartment buildings on like major streets. They've sort of traditionally you always wanted a regular another business in the downstairs. They're kind of giving up on that.
Yeah.
They're like they got to find a way to get the downstairs to be part of an apartment because they're claiming renting those things, especially with the parking rates and stuff we have in the street. Good luck with that.
And they're supposed to be the, you know, the attraction. There'd be the lights on, people coming and going. It was a safety thing too, but now they're having to bite the bullet and convert these into residential units because there's no commercial interest in them whatsoever.
Yeah, so we got to dash.
And I think a lot of that even goes back to like Amazon. People aren't running out to the stores for the little things. You know, they're just ordering them and they're getting delivered. So a lot of the little foot traffic that would propel a lot of these stores, it just isn't happening.
You can only have so many coffee shops.
It's
true.
Real saturation pretty fast with those. So.
Well, anyway, S&P futures now down 31. Now Nasdaq only down 106. As we do whenever we have these big down moves after somewhat of a political announcement, or we up moves, but everybody comes in and buys these down moves. So far, they've done pretty well, and it's the operative word there being so far. But they are again today. Hey guys, thank you, Jimmy. Nice job, Matt. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.